Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our press conference for the first quarter in fiscal 2014. The conference will be streamed on the internet. We have simultaneous translation into English. I would ask the photographers not to use flashlights during the conference. We will start with a statement by our CEO, Mr. Käser, who is going to give an overview of the figures for the first quarter of the fiscal year, and then Mr. Käser and our CFO, Mr. Thomas, will be available for your questions. At 8:30, we will have the analyst call, and at 10:00, the annual general meeting of shareholders will start, which you can follow from the press room. I will hand over to Mr. Käser.
Thank you very much, Mr. Heimbach. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our press conference for the first quarter of fiscal 2014. Thank you for making your way to the Olympiahalle at such an early hour. It may still be dark outside, but there's plenty of light in here. Once again, we have light and shadow complementing one another with all due harmony, as in fiscal 2014 too. Ladies and gentlemen, we delivered a sound quarter to start our fiscal year. As expected, market conditions were not in our favor. We continue to focus on our productivity program for the year and on the actions we will take beyond 2014. We have remained true to our commitment to open communication, and despite some isolated events, the company has continued to become calmer. The mood among our employees has improved significantly, and the general sense of motivation to bring the company to the forefront is widely felt. Ladies and gentlemen, during an ongoing program of restructuring, Siemens 2014, this is not something that can be taken for granted. The new sales setup in the regions, effective since November 1st, 2013, has taken root, and our customer orientation has strengthened. As far as the operational business is concerned, we are making satisfactory progress toward the productivity and cost reduction goals we set for 2014. But we prioritize and in cases of doubt, securing business process and project implementation is given priority over cost reduction. It is pleasing to note that all sectors, I repeat, all sectors were within their margin corridors, and that capital efficiency, in other words, ROCE, has noticeably improved during the first quarter. 18% in the first quarter, that is, right in the center of the margin corridor after a fourth quarter 2013 with 13.4%, significantly below the corridor. As we anticipated, our market environment has not yet measurably improved. This is particularly true for the profitable short-cycle businesses. Despite the generally positive forecasts for the global economy, we continue to assume that noticeable impulses will first be felt toward the end of the year. I was surprised about the optimism in Davos, especially regarding the upswing in Europe. Our estimates are more conservative, and if business picks up, as it already has been indicated and has been forecasted, we are prepared for taking benefit from this, and we can meet expectations. In the short term, though, we expect that adverse developments are more likely as a result of the strength of the euro, which has climbed significantly against all relevant currencies for our businesses. And we believe that the competitive environment becomes more difficult currency-wise. Hence, there is no alternative in the short term to a strong focus on cost management and increased productivity. In addition to implementing short-term measures, we are also working diligently on the medium-term orientation, Siemens Beyond 2014. The design of our corporate management functions, in other words, the corporate core, is taking shape. I expect this to result in a marked improvement in the efficiency of our corporate headquarters and a noticeable streamlining of our corporate management. In this regard, we are also well underway with the stabilization of internal order efforts, as we named it, announced last August. We will not wait until May to implement the steps that result from this process. We will proceed promptly to put them into practice. For example, we have taken consequences of the changement of the investment behavior. Siemens is planning to delist its American depositary receipts from the New York Stock Exchange. In addition, Siemens intends to terminate its reporting obligations to the American Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC. Trade volume of Siemens shares was well below 5% in the U.S., and the trading of Siemens shares is nowadays conducted predominantly in Germany and via electronic trading platforms across the world over the counter. As a consequence, processes for financial reportings have been simplified, and we should take care of this change of behavior of investors. Processes for financial reportings are being simplified and their efficiency is being improved. But I can assure you, and this is very important to us, I would like to assure you also on behalf of Mr. Thomas, regardless of the delisting, the high standards of transparency in the financial reporting and the first-class corporate governance will continue to be top priority at Siemens. A look at the key figures from the first quarter shows that we can all in all be satisfied with developments, even if the new charges related to offshore wind connection projects in the German North Sea and at the Energy Transmission Division serve as a bitter reminder that these legacy projects, as we call them, that is to say the North Sea projects, our train projects, and the power plant, all Olkiluoto in Finland, will likely to be latent material charges for years to come, and I repeat, for years to come. The fact that a competitor is also having problems with offshore connections is just a small consolation and serves only to distract us from drawing our own conclusions. An especially welcome development, because it shows that we really have taken seriously our customer orientation program, and especially welcome development is the strong gain of 12% in orders compared to the same quarter last year. And when I say 12%, this has been adjusted for currency and portfolio effects, so 12% on a comparable basis. We won several large contracts, especially for rail projects and wind farms, which will take several years to be fully executed. 41% of our orders came from emerging markets. This demonstrates that alongside industrialized nations, our business is no longer conceivable without these growth markets. Our order intake has led to a situation where our order backlog has again reached a record 102 billion euros, and this is rather important, a rather significant level, and this is thanks to the stabilization of sales, and revenue was down slightly to 17.3 billion euros, largely due to currency effects. Our book-to-bill ratio thus came to 1.2 billion, and because we are take responsibility for the entire company, this 1.2. Our net income for the quarter was very agreeable at just under 1.5 billion euros, but part of this figure was provided by the considerably higher disposal gains at Siemens Real Estate year over year, so this effect will not be repeated in the next year's free cash flow. This quarter was considerably better than for the same quarter last year, despite the fact that We had seasonal outpayments. After a series of disappointments, we can also be pleased that the German Federal Railway Authority has given its approval for new high-speed trains to be used in Germany. So after some time, we could deliver 4 Velaro D-type ICE trains to Deutsche Bahn. More will follow, which will be used for testing in European countries. So we plan to deliver more ICEs to Europe. The energy sector saw a moderate increase in new orders and a moderate decrease in revenue. Energy contributed the most to total sector's profit with earnings of 506 million euros. We are very pleased to note that in the energy sector we had really good order intake. We've been capable of landing its largest onshore installation order to date for 5 wind farms and ordered for 2 combined cycle power plant blocks in Pennsylvania, which we will equip with our H-class turbines. We have also been chosen as a supplier for the country's first large offshore wind power plant. Orders like these in a land where competition often limits opportunity are, of course, especially gratifying. And we are proud to have won these contracts. We are a respected partner in the energy transition made in the USA, which distinguishes itself from less well-executed approaches in other countries by its hitherto disciplined approach. The healthcare sector saw an increase of 4% in orders and a slight gain in revenue. This sector showed a strong profit of 471 million euros in spite of the adverse impact of currency effects from the US dollar and the yen. The performance orientation of Agenda 2013 is an important foundation for 2014. This is clearly shown by these figures. The healthcare sector is a leader in imaging and has been scoring points on the world market. It has further expanded its technology leadership with its new SomaTop 4 scanner. In the industry sector, saw a substantial increase in orders combined with stable revenue and a moderate decrease in profits to 482 million euros. This is mainly due to the fact that strong short-cycle markets have not developed the way we've expected. And at present, we believe that the upswing will not take effect before the end of 2014. Industry's new orders are being driven primarily by long-cycle products and the PLM software businesses. Roughly 100 years ago, Henry Ford introduced the assembly line at his car factories. Today, Siemens is helping customers with the next industrial revolution in production. The situation at VAI Metals remains tense. Here, the implementation of operational measures must improve considerably in a market environment that remains difficult. When we take a look at the infrastructure and city sector and analyze business, we can see that this sector showed considerable progress in all its divisions, especially thanks to the 1.6 billion euro contract. We have achieved good figures in revenue and income, and profits rose substantially to 330 million euros. The decision to focus more strongly on the content and potential of the divisions in this sector rather than defending an additional organizational unit has had a positive effect on earning power and on discussions within and outside the company. Ladies and gentlemen, we have used the past 6 months to define specific measures for operational improvements to the organization in 2014 and to define priorities, respectively, to discuss the setting of priorities and the medium and long-term planning related to Siemens beyond 2014. Additionally, we have also paid close attention to elements that are important to me personally, as I stated when I took office in August 2013. Returning a sense of calm to our company, a stronger focus on proximity to markets and customers in the regions, stabilizing the internal order of the company, and in all these fields of activities, ladies and gentlemen, we can see progress with each of these elements and goals, and this is just the beginning. Much remains to be done, but one thing, without question, already has been achieved. Our colleagues throughout the company are once again proud to be Siemens, and most are going to work motivated and self-confident again. Even if we can't please everyone all the time, I'm more convinced than ever before that overall we are doing the right thing. Having said this, I end my presentation and look forward to answer your question together with Mr. Thomas. Thank you very much.
I would like to show your hands.
Herrn Höppner.
We'll start with Mr. Flämig. Mr. Höppner. Mr. Flämig, I have three questions. One on the strategy. You mentioned that you would draw consequences regarding the U.S. listing. What's the timeline? Is there any information on the basic strategy, or are you focusing on May? And then you mentioned the currency effects and their effect on competitiveness. Would you say that the ratios will remain largely the same, or will there be any structural reaction to that? And then the gross margin has jumped by 4 percentage points compared with the fourth quarter. How should we interpret this, and what level do you think is sustainable for you? Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Flämig. Now, regarding the strategy, I would like to leave it at what I said and maybe say in general terms that we see productivity effects, for example, the reaction to the trading behavior of our stock. And you have to observe certain timelines, certain time periods, and this has been one of the reasons why we are initiating this process relatively quickly. Regarding your question on the exchange rates, now, Mr. Thomas is, I'm sure, going to give you some figures to show you how true this is. Now, the strategy based on initiating or drawing up a strategy based on currency exchange rates would not make sense. Of course, we make sure that we have a good ratio between the cost side and the profit side and the revenue side, and we're balancing this quite well. But we have to find, of course, that there are cases where we export from Germany or from Euro countries into other countries where the currency relations have effects on the transaction and its value. And this effect was about 70 basis points last quarter and could also last on that level unless the currency rates change. The question will be whether our competitors which export from non-Euro countries will use that leeway to engage in a price-oriented competition, or whether they would rather have higher profits in individual cases, especially in the gas turbine technology. Also in medical technology, we see Japanese competitors mainly using those price advantages which result from the change in value of the currencies. However, we also see that wherever we have an installed base, these things have little effect. The gross margin is good in Q1. This is also the consequence of the clear and clean execution of our projects. And we had some, maybe Ralf, you can give us some additional data on the currency situation, so our colleagues can see that, of course, we are following the development and taking action. Yes, of course, I'll do that. Now, the way to hedge against currency fluctuations is so-called natural hedging. You try to get as close to the markets where you sell as possible. For net exporters like us from the euro countries, it's still not possible to offset all currency fluctuations, which means that in our order intake during the first quarter, we had a 900 million effect in sales or in revenue, 800 million. And it's important to understand here that this is not just U.S. dollar impacts, but basically all currencies in the main economic areas were devaluated vis-a-vis the euro. Now, what effect does that have on the result? In the product business, as Mr. Keser mentioned, the influence is 70 basis points. In the result for Siemens as a whole, 40 basis points. That is a little less than half a percentage point in terms of margin. And in the areas of healthcare and industry, in those divisions, the impact on the result was 1 percentage point. Since we have no facts from which we can deduce that the currency relationships will change in the short term, we assume that the rest of the business year will be impacted by similar currency effects. Maybe I can say a few words about the delisting. You asked about the timeline, and with yesterday's decision of the board and today's communication, a 90-day information period has started for U.S. pension plans according to the 401k pattern. They have to be treated according to that pattern, which means that in late April, format 20 or Form 25 has to be submitted, and we will then delist. And once that is legally valid, the delisting, which actually results in the ending of the reporting requirements, this is with Form 15F. And this means that we no longer have to report according to the standards of the American Stock Exchange Supervision Authorities, but the whole thing will be legally valid 3 months later, after hopefully the SEC will confirm correctness of our submission, and therefore we expect that in late August we will actually be delisted at the American Stock Exchanges. Until that time, as Mr. Keser said, of course, all requirements regarding our reporting standards will persist. However, after that process, especially transparency and corporate governance will remain at the traditional high level at Siemens. Next question is Mr. Höppner, then Mr. Koenen and Ms. Meyer. Mr. Höppner first. Good morning. I have two questions, one on the strategy, the other on the figures. Regarding your strategy again, related to May, now investors are going to say, now if he's going to take time until May, we want to see restructuring in a big way. Now, can you tell us, is this going to be radical or are these minor changes, cosmetic changes? And the second question on your figures, can you tell us the exact composition of the additional profit? Which part of it is a positive effect from the cost-cutting program and what is the absence of special effects, special burdens? Thank you, Mr. Höppner. Now, of course, we're looking forward to hearing what the investors will demand during the AGM. Now, regarding the potential restructuring of the company, I don't think we should be hasty. Now, we have a timeline, and, of course, the company is not in a situation where you would have to take immediate urgency measures at all. Of course, some things did not work in the strategic operational area. This is something that, Mr. Flemming, you said so correctly, this had an effect over years on the gross margin, which means, of course, that we need to correct our course a bit. The company has not grown for some years, and there we have to look for growth possibility. possibilities, and we have to look at the value chain in the electrification, efficient use of electric energy, and we'll have to see what effect the digitization has, what changes will come, what consequences that has for us. And I can also say something, maybe anticipate something I'm going to say later on during the AGM. There are five points with which we are going to carry out a strategic evaluation of our business. One is, where are the growth fields in which we should be active? Secondly, how attractive are those areas regarding their potential gain profit there? Then there's a question for the competencies in our company. Why would customers buy from us and not from competitors? What makes Siemens competitive? What competencies do we have to create? Question number four. Question four that we're going to analyze is the synergy value of our business at Siemens. How does it come together? Why are we strong together? Are the individual divisions' business models such that they will win the day in competitive environment? And the fifth question is, where are there structural changes along the spectrum which may lead to changes, so-called paradigm changes? This could be automation. It could be the area of digital technology. It could be biotechnology. And it could also be mass data analytics in software or in data processing. So we will analyze all that and derive from that a holistic strategy and structure for the company. Now, it was important to us that the go-to-market should be defined in a very clear way to ensure that the complexity of our company will be inside. But for the markets, to the customer, we have a sort of clear interface. Now, this is something we've done, stabilization of the group through the corporate core. The corporate functions are being redesigned, and that those steps are being implemented. So we can plan the operational structure and function of the company and hopefully present them in a convincing way. Of course, we have looked at the analysis of profit power, and there are a number of factors compared with the previous quarter. During the first quarter of the fiscal year 2013, there have been restructuring charges which have disappeared. You also heard that during the first quarter of this fiscal year, apart from the transmission, there are no project burdens, the 67 million which were mentioned. And in addition to that, the cost-cutting potentials as a result of the restructuring measures are taking effect from our transformation program. That is, and so this is working. We are in line with our plans. Unfortunately, the fourth influential factor is the currency effect, which is an adverse effect. So unfortunately, part of that positive effect is burdened by these impacts.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have 15 minutes for 8 people asked the floor, so please understand that maybe not all of you will have the opportunity to speak, but of course our press relation officers will answer all your questions. We continue with Mr. Köhn. Could you quantify the cost-cut measures? And Mr. Käse, your speech has been cryptical in 2 points. You've been talking about latent material charges for years to come. What do you mean by this? What shall we understand on this? Because the major projects have been dealt with. And the other phrase was to defend an individual organizational unit. So did we want to literally kill the division? Otherwise, I couldn't explain this phrase to myself. Good morning, Mr. Kuhn. It's good that you ask this question so that because that gives me an opportunity to clarify the situation. What do I mean by the statement? the debate about the so-called fourth sector does not meet or has never met our real priorities. It's all about the definition of the content, mobility, low voltage, building technology, all these contents has to be addressed in a way that we reach tangible improvements. This is what the sector has been focusing on, and this is what has been announced by our colleagues. And I'm pleased to note that improvements have been achieved as planned. And measures have been implemented with a substantial increase of 3+ something percent. So that we have met the margin corridor. So this is a very satisfactory development, and we shall continue this development. That's what it's all about. We are not talking about eliminating the fourth sector. No, this is an irrelevant question and discussion. What is important is the content. So we have made this business before the creation of the fourth sector, and these activities had to be improved. Now our business in this area has become more transparent, which is the major advantage of the fourth sector, because transparency shows need to take corrective action. And so I'm quite satisfied with the development we can showcase in this sector. And if the colleagues continue in this way, the divisions will stabilize their income, revenue and income situation. The other question regarding late and material charges, of course we wish that all projects have been finally dealt with, but this is not the case, unfortunately. Think about the power plant in Finland. This is a project in which we, with our conventional power, that is to say steam turbines, have made good progress, but we are part members of a consortium, so we have to wait until the steam reaches our turbine. So our partner, who is in charge of the nuclear part, must be capable of supplying the steam. So there still is some insecurity in this business. The same thing is true for the high-speed trains. You may know that after a couple of delays, we now can supply the German Velaro version, or version of the Velaro train. More supplies will follow, but we still have to wait and have to apply for the European operational approval. So we are waiting for approval for the tunnel between France and the UK. So that is to say, there are some latent risks which cannot be quantified in all detail, but we should draw your attention to the existence of these risks. The same thing is true for the offshore wind park connection to the grid. We could connect one platform, but three of the platforms are still lacking. And many things depend on the weather situation. So even if we have proven with the first platform that it's technically feasible, we have no influence on the weather situation. So this is what I meant by latent material charges to be expected for years to come. And I think it's good for the company to not to forget these existing risks. So we should remind everybody of their existence as far as the two remarks are concerned. Thank you for addressing them, because it's important to clarify this. Mr. Kuhn, you have also asked to comment on the cost cut programs for the first quarter. They amount to 165 million euros.
Ms. Meyer, I have a question regarding the connection of the North Sea wind farm. Can you tell us how high the impact this year will be? 270 million when you add this up. Is this a realistic order of magnitude? And is it now 2, 3, or 10 years? Probably not 10 years, but can you maybe give us a little more information how long this is going to take? And the second question is about a subject which I'm sure will be raised or discussed at the AGM. Mr. Cromer is either right head of the supervisory board, and Mr. Kessler, do you think he's the right man? And how often do you meet? Do you have regular telephone calls, things like that? Well, good morning, Ms. Meyer. Now, that was a whole range of questions. Well, the project timelines, these range from relatively short-term issues for the next platform in the North Sea, which could happen in spring, depending on the weather. We should conclude these connections by 2016. Now, this is a timeline which goes or stretches across or beyond several fiscal years, and the same goes for the Eurostar, the European trains. We have a major milestone in 2015. This means that we hope we will not have to reevaluate the situation, but of course we're working on the approval and everything. Now, we have a plan for this, of course, but so it's not that we're planning for any problems, but of course you should learn from experience. And especially when more parties are concerned, it's not always easy. The Olkiluoto, now this could take some time, and both the commissioning but also the approval. You may know that Siemens and the consortium have already announced or claimed damages. I think this is going to be with us for some years in the future. The cooperation regarding the supervisory board, now the shareholders, I'm sure, are going to raise this. Now, much has been written and said, and maybe even more may have been thought. I don't really want to give any speculations here, but if I say that getting a sort of solid, calm basis in the company again, focusing and getting momentum in Siemens, this includes the supervisory board, and there's not very much you can do as the executive board, because the supervisory board controls the executive board and not vice versa. But of course it's important to us that there is calm in the supervisory board and that they support us in implementing the steps we believe are right. And well, for the rest, I'm sure that the shareholders are going to give their judgments.
Mr. Vetter and then Mr. Bryant. Good morning. Three short questions. You have said that the record level of order intake will stabilize the job situation. Does that mean that after Siemens 2014, there no more jobs will be melted down? You have talked about less successful approaches with regard to the energy situation. Did I interpret you correctly that you referred to Germany? What do you think about Germany's plans? And third, Mr. Snowden mentioned you as an example for industrial espionage. Do you believe that NSA spies into Siemens, and what do you do to protect yourself against industrial espionage? Thank you very much, Mr. Vetter. Stabilizing the payroll situation does not exclude structural changes in a company. I think it's very important to discuss all these things in a frank and open manner. A company like ours, who have to compete on a global level, always have a need for change. In a well-managed company, this is a regular, normal process which doesn't need to be announced with the programs. Markets change, product life cycles come to an end, new cycles start, Europe changes, emerging markets, emerging economies go up and down. So there's dynamic development around the world, and this dynamic development requires us to place our resources where they are needed. So, having said that, continuous reorientation of supply and demand and the value chain is a normal task of every company, and this will continue to be the case. my remark that America has a very reasonable approach to ecological restructuring of the energy supply has been made intentionally. The so-called Energiewende, the restructuring of the energy supply sector, always takes place in a given economic environment and has an impact on the gross national product. So a gross domestic product, and energy plays a major role for every given national economy and GDP. So a migration towards a new situation with a reasonable mix of conventional energy and new energy sources can be a solution, because you have to take care of peak demands. America shows how you can do this in a reasonable way. They have moved away from coal rather swiftly towards gas and is blending solar and wind energy to add it to the energy supply mix. This is how things should have been done in Germany. So we've been more ambitious in Germany because due to the fact that the new act on energy input really fueled solar panels on consumers' roofs and did not really fuel innovation. No, well, consumers are not to blame, but the design fault was that development has been fueled not to develop innovation, but to develop consumption. So now we subsidize jobs in China with German taxpayers' money, because they make solar panels now. In other words, I would say that sustainability is not only to be respected in ecological terms, but also in economic terms. What has to be done? Well, of course, in hindsight, these things are often more easy to understand. The understanding that there is a need for corrective action is very important on the level of the federal government. So we are happy that the government starts to discuss about the appropriate levels of subsidies and appropriate measures to be taken. And I think that we cannot improve the situation without cutting into the existing situation. So that, of course, there are problems with regard to our constitution, because the trust of the consumers who have invested into solar panels has to be respected. But we have to address the situation, because in that case, risk-free capital investments are rewarded with 7 to 8% of interest, of return on capital. So this, so you see that there's a broad corridor of corrective actions, broad margin for corrective actions. And that is to say, we must be able to cut into existing subsidies without losing protection of investors, without jeopardizing protection of investors. So the it's the wrong decision to subsidize companies who need a lot of energy, a lot of power. Let's turn to the NSA situation. I've been asked whether there's a connection between Mr. Snowden's declarations and delisting of the New York Stock Exchange. Of course, that's bullshit. We have heard Mr. Snowden's allegations, and the fact that Siemens has been mentioned may be due to the fact that Siemens is one of the most best-known German companies. Maybe he couldn't think of another German name. I do not want to limit the whole discussion about industrial espionage on just one government player. You can protect yourself by developing new firewalls before, by developing new technologies before old technologies are stolen from you. So you have to develop faster than others can steal your trade secrets. So this is more important than a general debate about spying, including industrial espionage. This is a very old trade, and those who are not to blame should throw the first stone. And that is everything I would like to say on this.
We have already exceeded our time, but Mr. Brian will give you the opportunity to ask a short question. Two short questions, please. The first one on deflation. Some economists are concerned about deflation in the Eurozone. Now, the question is, what can the company do to limit those risks? What has to be done or should be done there? The second question, the UK, my home country. Now, there's going to be a referendum on membership of the European Union, and some people have warned that this might have serious effects on the British economy. Would you like to comment that? Would that be a good idea? Thank you very much. Now, the deflation in Europe is something I'm less worried about. Now, geographically speaking, which would include the second question, actually, it is a divided continent, not just because of the channel. In the southwest of Europe, there are certainly question marks you could put in terms of growth, but France has shown that you can break out of a deflation, that you can stabilize the economy. Europe has a lot of innovative power through technology. And if we stress this for industrialization, I'm not worried about Europe. When you open up towards the east, or when you look east, there are countries which have a lot of demand. So I think when you look at the European situation, it's more than just a question of the UK. But we are quite successful in the UK as a company, so I wish we would be as successful elsewhere or everywhere as in the UK, not just in the energy division. So we would like to do what we've done. We are happy with any democratically elected government, and we try to be successful. So I would not want to give any advice to Mr. Cameron. Now, I met him in Davos with six colleagues from China, one from India, two fund managers, and myself. So you see what the interest situation is. Ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be an analyst call in 10 minutes' time, and after that, the AGM. I hope that you'll be back again on May the 8th. The media rooms will be open to you now, and if you have any questions that have not been answered, our PR colleagues will be happy to take them. Thank you very much.